Looking forward to another season of adventure through the national parks, another season of trivia and drag queens and games along the way?
Then be sure to join us, your hosts, Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan of Gaze at the National Parks, when our seventh season launches on September 23rd, 2024.
And if you can't wait till then, maybe revisit some of your favorite parks, trails, and trail mix episodes in the meantime with our episode finder.
Click the link in our show notes, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make navigating our library of episodes as simple as a few clicks.
Happy trails, and see you again September 23rd.
Hello, and welcome to Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike, and welcome to our Season 6 Summit.
If you're new to the podcast, our Summit episodes are how we wrap up our seasons here at Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. It's our way of looking at each of the parks from this season through four different lenses.
Well, in each of our main stage episodes, we get a chance to talk about the hikes in a national park. We don't often get to encompass a larger view of the park space itself. Our Summit episodes allow us to look at the parks from this season by examining the visitor experience, the history, the environment and wildlife, and on a much grander scale, the hiking and experiences within the parks.
Today's Summit is our third in the series, and it is all about wildlife. Traveling in a national park, whether on a hiking trail or driving a loop road, can lead to a lot of questions. What am I looking at? What is that creature? Is that a bear or is that a rock? Did I just see a bighorn sheep or was it a goat? It's a lot like that game, Guess Who?
Mm-hmm. I love that game. I excelled at that game.
I do love that game. I always wanted a Guess Who game where I could just put pictures of like people I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's just me being extra.
I mean, I have it for my, you know, it's like Battleship, but with my book of hexes. And
there
just
it
all
is.
Pictures of you.
Perfect. But different versions of
but different
me.
Versions of
is
you.
Is this Dusty when we went to this concert? Mm-hmm. Is this Dusty?
Hexed.
Hexed. Correct.
Yep.
No, I did love that game as a kid a
me
lot.
Too. Mm-hmm.
I played it all the time. Yeah. What were your favorite questions? I would ask questions that were slightly subjective.
Does this man look like he may have attended a Met Opera event?
Right.
Yeah.
Do they look a little bit sneaky?
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that.
Sure. I think I would always ask if they had hair or not, like once we were narrowing it down, you know, because there were a few bald men there. I think
there
I was
were.
Just gazing into my future.
Perhaps.
Perhaps I
Maybe
was.
Maybe you were.
Mm-hmm.
From caves to mountains to deserts to hot springs, we covered a lot of terrain this season, and we were able to get a close-up look at many different kinds of wildlife in these parks.
Let's start with Gateway Arch National Park. We'd like to acknowledge that while visiting the land also known as Gateway Arch National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Kickapoo, Kaskaskia, Osage, Miamia, Ogapa, and Ocheti Chicoan. Gateway Arch is an urban national park in the middle of St. Louis, Missouri. Given its urban location, the wildlife you might see here is often seen in many urban locations, and despite being an urban location, it is located right on the Mississippi River and boasts some beautiful grounds, often full of bloom.
According to the biologists at the St. Louis Wildlife Project, the majority of the wildlife you might see here include gray squirrels, birds, raccoons, and possums, though they do have a small coyote population, though they are only active at night. Other wildlife you might see here include a host of different bats, rabbits, and woodchucks. In addition, the St. Louis Wildlife Project has helped to monitor and identify six different types of bats that were finding a home on the grounds of Gateway Arch National Park.
There's also a steady bird population in the area. According to the NPS, one might see Canada geese, mallards, peregrine falcons, mourning doves, robins, blue jays, mockingbirds, house finches, and northern cardinals, as well as rock pigeons, European starlings, and house sparrows.
Some migratory birds include thrushes, tanagers, orioles, kinglets, vireos, flycatchers, as well as egrets and bald eagles.
And given everything we listed, did we see any of these when we were there?
No.
No.
No, we saw none of those.
We saw nothing. We did have like a house finch experience on the riverboat, though.
No, that was the swallows.
Oh, swallows.
That
we
was
had a
like
swallow
cliff
experience.
Swallows. They okay. were burrowing in the riverboat.
Yes. Let's move on to Wind Cave National Park. We'd like to acknowledge that while hiking and visiting the land, also known as Wind Cave National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Oglala Lakota, Cheyenne, Ocheti Chicoan, Minikoju, and many other indigenous people. While known for its cave, the grounds of Wind Cave National Park includes 33,000 acres of prairie, which means prairie dogs and many other animals. Let's start with prairie dogs, a small and incredibly cute animal that is abundant at Wind Cave National Park. Found throughout the park in prairie dog towns, the prairie dogs have played quite a major role in the ecosystem of the park. They serve as prey for eagles, hawks, owls, coyotes, bobcats, and badgers. So, they're popular.
It seems. They are also the prey of the endangered species, the black-footed ferret. Reintroduced to Wind Cave in 2007, the park had not seen black-footed ferrets since 1977. The continued development and growth of the species will take further monitoring and control in order to get them off of the endangered species list, but until then, the prairie dog community will continue to serve as tribute.
Similarly, other large mammals roam the prairies of Wind Cave, including elk, bison, and pronghorn. But with no wolves or grizzly bear and only a few mountain lions, there are few predators for these larger animals, resulting in increased population of bison and elk. This means that once a year, park staff rounds up some of the bison and elk and sends them to reservations or other parks.
In addition, there are some reptiles that find their homes on these prairies, including the snapping turtle, the western painted turtle, garter snakes, milk snakes, and bull snakes, which are often seen near the visitor center. The only venomous snake in the park is the prairie rattlesnake, mostly seen near prairie dog towns.
There are also many bird species seen within the prairie, including western meadowlarks, eastern bluebirds, mountain bluebirds, turkeys, and sharp-tailed grouse. Quite a few owl can be seen here, including great horned owl, long-eared owl, and northern saw-whet owl. Western tanagers, cedar waxwings, various woodpeckers, ducks, and geese can also be spotted on the prairies of Wind Cave National Park.
And finally, Wind Cave is home to many bat species, including long-eared bats and little brown bats, though their populations are declining at this time due to white nose syndrome, a condition that creates a fungus that is life-threatening to bats. Let's now head to Hot Springs National Park, to the land also known as Arkansas. We would like to acknowledge that while visiting the land also known as Hot Springs National Park, that we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Osage, Quapaw, and Caddo people, another NPS site whose namesake is underground, but where the wildlife can be found above ground. But now it is time for a very, very quick game. I'm going to name the classification order, and I just want you to let me know what animals are a part of that order.
Okay.
Okay, great. For the first one, Rodentia.
Well, Rodentia is now a drag queen.
I mean,
she's a rodent queen, just like rodent boyfriends are like in
That's
this
it.
Year.
Oh, yes.
It's Rodentia.
Rodentia.
She's rodent girl. I'm imagining rats and mice and voles and moles.
No, too far. Rats, okay. Mice, squirrels.
Okay.
Okay, great. What about the pronunciations of this Latin? Chiroptera.
Chiropractors.
That's it. Fountain wildlife. Ready
That's
to
right.
crack your back. That's it.
That's their call. I have no idea.
Bats.
Okay.
Okay, great. And then the final one. Soricomorpha.
That's a spell. That's the spell I use on all of your photos. Hexed.
Soricomorpha. It does sound like that. It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I will say it is the one that includes the two of us.
Humans.
Nope. Shrews and moles.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
It's going to be like, gays! Hot Springs National Park is known for its bat population, so much so that it has a junior ranger program entirely dedicated to bats. Since bats are so prevalent here in Hot Springs National Park, it's a good idea to remember that they should never be handled by humans as they can carry rabies, and that bats do a tremendous good for the ecosystem as they help to control the insect population. So, Dusty is deeply grateful for them.
Yes, very much so.
But don't fly near him.
Other animals found in Hot Springs National Park include white-tailed deer and black bear. They are the largest animals found here. While we saw neither of these while we hiked in Hot Springs, we were on the lookout for smaller animals, including Virginia opossum, striped skunk, red fox, raccoons, gray fox, coyotes, and bobcats. We did not see any of these, despite a warning that bobcats might be about.
Hot Springs National Park is also home to many species of reptile and amphibian, including ornate box turtles, snapping turtles, and red-eared sliders. Lizards that can be spotted in Hot Springs include western slender grass lizards, northern fence lizards, green anoles, and skinks. And now for Dusty's favorite part. There are over 20 different types of snakes in Hot Springs National Park, including 5 venomous snakes, which include the water moccasin, pygmy rattlesnake, western diamondback rattlesnake, and copperhead.
Each year in Hot Springs National Park, they do a Christmas bird count. A recent count showed over 9,000 birds across 113 species. The Christmas bird count depends on citizen scientists and has been a tradition for over 100 years. Just a few of the birds you might see in Hot Springs National Park include falcons, kingfishers, tyrant flycatchers, old world sparrows, herons, sandpipers, goat suckers, owls, and many, many more. Okay, have you ever been traveling abroad and then received a huge roaming bill for your cell phone afterwards, or lost phone service or connectivity while traveling, or found yourself desperately searching for free Wi-Fi, or have you ever wasted your time at the airport trying to find a SIM vendor? Well, then look no further than Arelo. Arelo is the world's first eSIM store that solves the pain of high roaming bills by giving you access to eSIMs, or digital SIM cards. It's trusted by 10 million travelers worldwide, founded in 2019 with a mission to provide global data connectivity to all travelers, and Arelo is the first and leading eSIM store on the market. And what's great is that there's no waste. It's 100% digital. Forget about physical SIM cards or putting cards in your phone. Arelo is a digital solution, so it eliminates the need for packaging, mailing materials, or physical distribution. It is created to save you time and money. No more roaming fees, no more lines at the airport to purchase a local SIM card, no more hassle looking for a strong Wi-Fi connection at the airport. Also, using eSIM, you get to keep your home phone number. Connect to local networks wherever you travel, because Arelo has you covered in more than 200 countries and regions. Stay connected from the moment you land. Arelo has local, regional, and global eSIMs. And it's super easy to use. There's an app available that you can download, and you can easily monitor and track your data usage. I know I'm always worried about roaming charges when I travel abroad, but now I don't have to. And neither do you, because you can install Arelo today, and you can use our code GAZE to get $3 off your first eSIM. And that's code GAZE, G-A-Z-E, to get $3 off your first eSIM with Arelo. Someone who is constantly curious about the birds in my neighborhood, from those on the branches to those in the air, I often have trouble identifying what I'm hearing or what I'm seeing because they may be moving too fast for me to get a good view of. FeatherSnap takes the often tricky art of bird identification and makes it so much simpler through its top-of-the-line camera and incredible AI programming. After setting up my FeatherSnap bird feeder in my yard, I couldn't believe the birds I was seeing and capturing in photos and videos. If anything, the excitement of having a bird appear at the feeder and then be captured by the camera only stoked my excitement for what other birds might appear and what birds I should be on the lookout for while I was out and about. If you're looking to up your bird watching game or want to get your friends and family engaged in and excited about the birds in your area, then FeatherSnap is for you. From its solar-powered, top-of-the-line camera, in its unique dual bin feeder, to its incredible mobile app which collects photos and videos at the feeder, FeatherSnap is a complete game changer. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across 2 separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! Let's turn our attention now to another park we visited this season with an impressive underground world and burgeoning wildlife on the land above, Mammoth Cave National Park. We would like to acknowledge that while hiking and visiting the land, also known as Mammoth Cave National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Cherokee, Shawnee, and Yuchi people.
Similarly to Hot Springs, Mammoth Cave, as it will come as no surprise, is also known for its bat population, boasting over 160 different types of bat species. However, they are not often seen on tours, as bats don't love large groups of people. Oh, I get it, girl.
Mm-hmm.
And they prefer darkness.
I get it, girl.
Also, white nose syndrome, a condition causing fungus for bats that we mentioned before, has also pushed away many of the bats from any areas humans regularly engage with, though there are accounts from the 1800s of the bats roosting near the natural cave entrance.
As we mentioned in episode 104, Great Onyx Cave, we did encounter two cave creatures directly, that being cave crickets and cave spiders, and one very pregnant cave spider. It's worth noting that while out on the surface, crickets are smaller, often small enough to fit on one's finger. In a cave, crickets are much larger. One might describe them as mammoth even. Cave spiders are similarly large. We only saw these when getting a special research tour through Great Onyx Cave and did not see any of these on the River Styx tour, heard in episode 103 from this season.
The most common tours to see cave crickets are the Frozen Niagara and the Domes and Dripstones tour routes. Other creatures in Mammoth Cave include cave salamanders, as well as eyeless cave fish and eyeless crayfish. And speaking of eyeless creatures, Mammoth Cave is home to the endangered species, the Kentucky cave shrimp, an eyeless shrimp found literally in no other part of the world other than the underground rivers in Mammoth Cave.
On the topic of endangered species, two bats that inhabit the park that are both considered endangered are the gray bat and the Indiana bat, both of which are part of conservation efforts by the park to preserve them.
Mammoth Cave National Park also participates in the Freshwater Mussel Relocation Project, a project that relocates freshwater mussel, another endangered species, to the Green River to protect them from construction and damming. The program works with over 28 different species of mussels, including the endangered fanshell and sheepnose variety.
In addition to this, the NPS Paleontology Program has worked with Mammoth Cave to research the fossils that exist within the cave. Presently, fossils from over 70 species of ancient fish have been discovered in the passages of Mammoth Cave, including shark fossils.
Next, we turn our gaze to Shenandoah National Park. We would like to acknowledge that while visiting the land also known as Shenandoah National Park, that we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Manahoic people.
And if you thought we were done talking about bats, you'd be wrong. We should really just call this summit bats. Shenandoah is
it's like that. Wait, no, I'm thinking of that that meme of Oprah with bees, but bats.
Yeah. Shenandoah is home to a tremendous amount of wildlife, including black bears, which we've encountered, deer, which we've seen, and big brown bats, which we haven't seen, but maybe on our next trip, maybe when I finally take on my full nocturnal form.
Big brown bats are some of the largest members of the bat family. They can be seen at sunset as the darkness starts to set in. You're familiar with that?
Yeah, it's play the theremin right now.
Ooh. Yes. They might be mistaken for a large bird in flight. Their wingspan is anywhere from 13 to 16 inches. Their ears are short and rounded. Big brown bats can be found in almost every American ecosystem, from meadows to mountains to deserts to forests. They eat mostly beetles, stink bugs, and moths.
From the NPS, quote, a colony of 150 big brown bats can consume enough adult cucumber beetles in one summer to prevent egg laying that would produce 33 million of their rootworm larvae, a major pest of corn. Like all insect-eating bats, big brown bats contribute mightily to a healthy environment and are vital players in the checks and balances of insect pests, end quote.
While they can migrate for up to hundreds of miles, the populations of big brown bats near Shenandoah like to stay year-round, finding hibernation in caves and human-made structures between December and March. Just take note, in the event you are sheltering in a human-made structure while on the Appalachian Trail through Shenandoah between December and March, you might find some big brown bat friends. But don't worry, because bats and humans can coexist very peacefully.
As mentioned before, the black bear population is also known for its presence in Shenandoah National Park. The first reported black bear date back to 1937, when the park was newly established, and 10 were recorded by 1944. The black bear community is currently thriving, with around 900,000 reported members of the species, with 5,000 to 6,000 inside the area also known as Virginia, with only a few hundred inside the area also known as Shenandoah National Park.
Turning our attention now to plants, Shenandoah National Park is also known for its fern diversity. Welcome to the stage, fern diversity. Mm-hmm. With over 60 different species of fern, Shenandoah's location is right between the spot where the northern and southern ferns have adapted to survive, creating an abundance of fern diversity within the park. Some of these include Goldie's wood fern, rusty cliff fern, netted chain fern, and hairy lip fern. Ferns can survive in locations with moist soil, near a water source, or even in dry areas like cliff faces, and Shenandoah National Park has all of these environments and more.
From the NPS, quote, some of the largest displays of ferns in the park can be seen along the northern section of Skyline Drive near Elk Wallow Wayside. Here, you can see hay-scented fern growing throughout the understory for many miles. Wetland ferns, such as the meter-tall interrupted fern, can be viewed along the Limberlost Trail and the base of the Stony Man Nature Trail, end quote.
And finally, Big Bend National Park. We would like to acknowledge that while hiking and visiting the land also known as Big Bend National Park, that we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Humanos, Cahuacatan, Mescalero Apache, and Chisas people.
Let's start with Big Bend as a birding spot. It is known as a spot for birders, as over 450 different species of birds either call Big Bend home or pass through it on their migratory routes. For more info on birds in Big Bend, go listen to our trail mix from the season titled Birding in Big Bend National Park.
Let's look at some of the other wildlife found in Big Bend National Park. Let's start by saying that Big Bend National Park, while a desert park, contains many other ecosystems and land formations, resulting in many different types of wildlife. Yes, it is the desert, but it also contains a mountain range. It also is near the Rio Grande. There are also canyons. This results in a large diversity of wildlife.
While we aren't going to dive deep into this, it is worth noting, bats! You thought you'd escaped. Big Bend National Park is home to over 22 species of bats, including the endangered Mexican long-nosed bat.
And similarly to Shenandoah National Park, Big Bend has a black bear population. In the early 1900s, black bears were common in the Chisos Mountains. However, by the mid-1940s, which is when the national park was established, most of the black bears had gone. Mexican black bears began to return to the Chisos in the 1970s and 80s, and now hikers often report black bear sightings while hiking in the Chisos. Other wildlife found in Big Bend National Park include mountain lions, an apex predator of the region and found in the mountainous and forested areas, both mule deer and white-tailed deer, bobcats, coyotes, gray foxes, ringtails, badgers, rabbits, lagomorphs, and nutria.
Elk are also found in Big Bend National Park, with a count of about 30 to 40 individual elk who call the area home.
For the squirrel friend nerds listening, there are four species of squirrel found in Big Bend National Park, including rock squirrels seen high up in the Chisos Mountains, the Texas antelope squirrel, a small squirrel that's often seen along the road into the Chisos Basin, the spotted ground squirrel, and the Mexican ground squirrel, the rarest of all four.
Another thing to note is the population of desert bighorn sheep and owdads, which are often confused with bighorn sheep. We saw one of these and thought that it was a bighorn. Owdads are a threat to desert bighorn population. From the NPS, quote, numerous exotic Barbary sheep, also known as owdad, which are native to North Africa and the deserts of the Middle East and Asia, now inhabit Big Bend National Park. Founding animals were stocked on private game ranches in Texas, and reproduction and expansion allowed them to invade the park. They have likely been present since the 1970s. 1970s and now occur park-wide. Owdad compete with native desert bighorn sheep and threaten the restoration effort to bring back previously extirpated bighorn sheep back to their native land, end quote.
And we couldn't talk about wildlife in Big Bend and not mention the collared peccary, also known as javelina. These animals are found in the areas also known as Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, and stretch as far south as Argentina. They are often mistaken for pigs and warthogs, but are a member of a different taxonomy family. They are here in Big Bend National Park, as well as Saguaro National Park. We've now been to both, and did we see any?
No, much to your chagrin.
No, we didn't.
Chagrin and sadness would be like your cologne line.
I think that would be our collective cologne line.
Sure.
Thank
right.
you. I'll bring the chagrin, you bring the sadness.
Right. The sources for today's summit include the NPS websites for Mammoth Cave, Wind Cave, Gateway Arch, Big Bend, Hot Springs, and Shenandoah National Park.
Western Kentucky University's research and reporting on bat monitoring in Mammoth Cave National Park, and the article Endangered Mussels, released in Kentucky Rivers from the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife.
And now, let's end this episode with a queen and a game.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Honoree Childs. Like an honoree child.
Oh, like an ornery child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was like...
you were like, I'm sorry,
insert the sound effect clip of like the queens in like after...
No, when they're
the saw,
sipping.
Sipping the straw and the ice clinking. Yeah. On Drag Race.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. Honoree Childs. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. So who is Honoree Child?
Well, she's mad. Bats!
She's mad.
She's mad for bats. Who is Honoree Child? I mean, I think she is an anger management queen. That's what she actually therapizes and works as an anger management like therapist.
Interesting.
In her waking day life.
Oh, so that's her like Jerrica Benton, mm-hmm. Catering job.
Mm-hmm. But specifically for children.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like for those that might have anger issues at a young age.
Now that said, I feel like her drag though is like it models healthy expressions of anger.
Okay,
because
sure.
I think about an act where like she starts like in a very sort of calm space, but then discovers something that makes her angry, and mm-hmm. then throughout the number like transforms into, I don't know, Amy Lee from Evanescence, and
sure.
just like screams and has all this anger, or Alanis even, like to express her anger for something.
Well, I feel like, because this is going to be a big production, because she's got money. She's got money.
She's making that sweet insurance dollar.
So I feel like there's like, it's pageantry. So she's like modeling angry behavior, like maybe she's coloring all over the wall, and like there are LED screens that show the scribbles and you're distracted by that, and then her white dress then transforms to having the coloring on it.
Love
or
that.
She's like throwing things and they're shattering and the screens are shattering, and then her dress like shatters into a million pieces.
Oh, I like that.
Like there's a lot of production dollars here.
Taking behavior associated with anger, mm-hmm. like coloring on the walls or breaking things.
Mm-hmm.
And turning it into a performance.
Into drag performance.
Drag performance. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm here mm-hmm. for that. That's mm-hmm. excellent.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
But we didn't talk about what she sings.
What does she sing? So what does she sing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, You Ought to Know comes to mind
immediately. Sure.
Because it's just so full of anger. Just Like a Pill by Pink.
Mm-hmm.
Literally anything from My December Kelly Clarkson.
What about, I think it's Rihanna. It's I Might Be Bad. Is that?
Oh, that's S&M.
That's S&M. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But also, Bitch Wrong. Better Have My Money.
Sure.
I yeah. also like
great.
That song.
Great.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Honoree Childs.
Are we ready for Jeopardy-style trivia that we're going to close out this summit episode with?
Yep.
Are you ready?
I am.
So, this is called Season 6 Park Haikus.
Great.
So I've written a haiku for each one of the parks. Each one of the parks featured in Season 6. You just have to guess the park.
Great.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
For the first one. Giant underworld. A cavern under the ground. There are bats about.
What is Mammoth Cave?
That is correct. For 200. Desert and mountains. Many ecosystems here. Bats fly about here.
What is Big Bend?
That is correct.
I hope that all of them include bat information.
For 300, a prairie above, gypsum, boxwork, abundance. Bats are among us.
What's Wind Cave National Park?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Wind Cave National Park.
A prairie above is also like some sort of like Hallmark Christian film.
Oh,
that's
easily.
Like, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We want to get to the prairie
Midwest.
Above in the
mm-hmm.
sky.
Yeah.
For 400, an underground steam, water that fell years ago. Discover bats here.
What's Hot Springs?
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
Third line about bats.
Mm-hmm. For 500, perched near a river, its best name, Memorial. Bats can be found here.
What is Gateway Arch?
That is correct. That is correct. And finally, falls, canyons, and peaks. A road atop the mountains. Big bats fly here.
What is Shenandoah National Park?
That is correct.
Look at that. A sweep. Beautiful haiku work.
Exactly. I'm glad bats. You liked my my bat work. This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. And that's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram, on our website, and in the Gaze Shop is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariello Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Ocean County, New Jersey.